and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder, and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Congregation, please read the bold print. Come, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God, and a great ruler above all gods. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. A reading from Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The images that we have of God for the feast of Christ the King convey particularities about the God that we worship and follow, and some truths. Truth being that our God values each of us. And I know that doesn't sound new. In a culture, we often hear the phrase, we're all God's children. But we also live in a culture in which we say, we're all God's children, yet at the same time believe that there are people in this world that are expendable. In our first lesson from Ezekiel, we hear that God desires to seek out the lost, to bring back those who have strayed, to bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. And this image of God as shepherd fits with our understanding of God as and Christ as king, because in the ancient Near East, shepherd was used as a name for the king, who was seen as a servant to the deity and expected to be a servant to the people. Christians of all people of faith should not have an image of God that is distant, a God that's somewhere out there or up there, but a God that is with us, that abides with us, that nurtures and loves us. There are voices in our culture that tell people to go and find God in the Christian faith, as if God is lost, if God is the one that is lost. But we are the ones that are lost. It's God that finds us and claims us. And today, through the sacrament of holy baptism, Amelia and Jacob will be loved and claimed by God through those waters. For it is in the sacrament of baptism that we can take to heart that image from Ezekiel, a God who seeks them out, desires to bring them into the fold, and to nurture and to love them all the days of their life. That they can trust in the promises of God given to them at baptism, that if they stray, God will search for them. God will welcome them back home every time they turn back to Him. That even death itself will not allow them to fall from the eternal love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. Now, I know our lessons today are also filled with images of judgment. Now, there are people that I encounter that love verses of judgment in the Scriptures. And the more I talk to them, the more I realize that it's images of judgment that are applied to other people, right? It's never so much reading it as maybe it's including them and all of us as well. But I believe these images of judgment invite us to look in the mirror. Because earlier in Ezekiel, in chapter 34, verse 2, we hear mortal prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, looking out for themselves. Those entrusted with the care of the sheep have been only looking out for them and at the expense of caring for the vulnerable. How do we do that when we have been entrusted by God to care for others in the church and in the world? But the good news, even in Ezekiel, is that God's judgment wants to make things right, wants to bring reconciliation to the flock. Perhaps we should look at the image of judgment as an opportunity for us to flourish in this world, as opposed to being paralyzed by the prospect of condemnation. Lindsay Armstrong looks at judgment from our gospel lesson as something like an annual visit for a wellness check with their doctor. Now, like Lindsay, I'm sure many of us would like to avoid this exam, right? But some of us might have certain family histories where we really need to get checked up on a regular basis, or your own personal health history might cause you to be in a state of mind where, like, I really can't put this off, and I have to get this checkup. Because those checkups can save one's life. And I think it's a good indication when insurance companies are willing to pay for it that it might be a good idea, right? Because they typically don't want to pay for things. And here's what Lindsay Armstrong invites us to hear in all this. Matthew's depiction of the Last Judgment is like a wellness check. Its purpose is not to condemn or to scare, but to provide a snapshot of our overall health, development, learning, and growth, that it should lead to new habits and ways of life. So much like the previous parables that we've been hearing in Matthew's gospel, it's about living in the way of God, following the way of Jesus. It's a new lifestyle. When we distance ourselves from others, we also distance ourselves from God. So this invitation is a lifestyle change that doesn't allow the virus of self-centeredness and apathy to ravage our souls, but to root it out so that we can live well in the way of Jesus. And Armstrong argues that we can see the entire teaching block of Matthew chapter 24 to 25, verse 46, as a wellness check. And this Christian life, this lifestyle, is something that all of us who have been baptized are invited to participate in. Amelia and Jacob will join us in this way of life, where our good works would shine in this world and give glory to God. And once again, what we're seeing here in our lessons today is the reality that we don't have a monopoly on the mystery and love of God. That God can be found outside the boundary lines that we draw up due to our sin and brokenness. When we live into the baptized life, we should be more like Christ. And like that image of God as shepherd, seeking to love and serve those outside our circles, those who are even outside our flock, so to speak. That in the waters of holy baptism, we are joined to Christ. And being joined to Christ, we should be able to see Christ in the other. The judgment we hear in Matthew's gospel and even in Ezekiel is not one that comes from a God who is distant. It's much closer. Where does the judgment come from? It comes from the need of our neighbor. It's the voice of our neighbor that judges us. The gospel is not about earning salvation through good works. It's not something we achieve. I understand how a surface level of this gospel lesson could be read that way, but that's not what Jesus is getting at here. The gospel lesson offers us is a reality that salvation comes to us in unexpected ways. It comes to us when we least expect it. Think about that physically, going back to our physical wellness. We take care of ourselves, we might do it as a chore initially, right? We might follow a diet plan, regimen and an exercise plan. We might see it as law. But others might start doing something like an exercise routine and a diet, and it just becomes something that they do, right? And they enjoy doing it, and they don't want to go back to the way they're eating or how sedentary they were prior. They enjoy it. And as a result, there could be benefits that they didn't initially realize was going to happen, right? Sometimes somebody might have said, like, all right, I need to exercise, I need to get on a diet because I want to address this in my health. But then other things improve as well, right? That, I think, is what we're invited to here in the Christian life, is that we may be doing things at times. It might start out as feeling convicted by the law, but in turn turns into gospel, turns into good news. We start doing it not out of obligation, because it's something we get to do. It's something we want to do. It's a response to the mercy that God has extended to us. And other benefits start happening. We see salvation come to us in unexpected ways when we extend it to others. It's a lifestyle that we're being invited into. And in time, we no longer count the cost. We don't even realize the mercy that we're extending to others, because it's just what we do. And we see moments then of the kingdom, glimpses of heaven on earth breaking through when we least expect it. The image of the shepherd that we have as God, as our shepherd, is one that's about love, compassion, and sacrifice. That God is a shepherd who gets dirty, right? Shepherds got dirty. They slept with their sheep. They carried them to safety. They bind their wounds, provide nourishment. The God that we worship and follow took on our flesh, our humanity. Jesus is the one who gets dirty, to bring healing, wholeness, reconciliation, and salvation to a humanity that has gone astray. Like in holy baptism, the incarnation, Jesus becoming human, is a reminder that God comes to us. God makes the first move. And Jesus getting into the dirty business of being our shepherd and king paves a way that leads us to the cross. And it is at the cross, an empty tomb, that we are given the promise of hope for eternal life and a new heaven and a new earth. And in that love given to us in Jesus, Jesus now invites us to see him in our neighbor, to see him in the other, so that heaven on earth can be experienced, so that God's love can be known now, and that through us, our shepherd and king could minister to those on the margins, to all those in need of salvation and newness of life. May we give thanks and praise to our God, who is shepherd and king, who seeks to come to us in the neighbor and the stranger among us. May we give thanks to our God in how God continues to love us through others, and how God's love is experienced in our love towards others. May we give thanks to our God who has found and claimed us, who took on our humanity, who today claims Amelia and Jacob and all the baptized through those holy waters, a God who died for us so that we could be joined with him in the resurrection. May we give thanks that whenever we're centered in the Word, that we're offered regular wellness checks. And in those wellness checks, there's a reminder to love all those who Jesus died for, which is everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen. This time I'd like to invite the sponsors of Amelia and Jacob and Amelia and Jacob for the sacrament of holy baptism forward.
Gives us new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We're united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world.
I present Amelia J. Hoffman for baptism.
I present Jacob Linden Hoffman for baptism.
Jacob, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to be baptized into Christ? Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ? As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people, bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed and the Ten Commandments. Place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture them in faith and prayer so that your child may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your child grow in the Christian faith and life? Sponsors, do you promise to nurture these persons in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit, and to help them live in the covenant of baptism and communion with the church?
Yes.
People of God, do you promise to support Jacob and Amelia and pray for them in their new life in Christ?
We do.
This is for Jacob and the sponsors. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God. Do you believe in God the Father?
The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
By the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried into the dead. On the third day, he rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, Holy God, for you are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your Son, Jesus, promised to send this Spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into those who are baptized here. By your Spirit, adopt us all as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amelia J., I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jacob Linden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Bring her back. Keep holding her. Sustain Amelia with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Sustain Jacob with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Amelia, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Jacob, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's created
Let us give thanks to God for what God has done for Amelia and Jacob. We'll continue with our hymn of the day. I will carry Amelia around and won't carry Jacob. And please rise as you're able.
Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, from Christ we receive our call to feed, clothe, and welcome. Direct your church to respond to this call with faithfulness and generous love. We pray for the work of ELCA World Hunger in partnerships with Global Feeding Ministries. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor, and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. In Christ, the rock of our salvation, we are brought into union with all of creation. With mountains, seas, dry lands, and animals of the field, we seek your guidance and protection. Hear us, O God. In Christ, we know merciful judgment. Guide rulers of every nation in ways of humble leadership and wise decision-making. Allow aid to come to all who are underserved and care to any who are neglected. Hear us, O God. In Christ, we feel the depth of your love and care toward us. Nourish all who hunger, connect any who are isolated, and surround all who experience rejection or abuse. We pray for those who suffer, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Phyllis, Dave, the family of Harry Miller, the family of Joe Long, Theodore and family, Cheryl, Rick, Bill, Jessica and her twins, Wesley and Wyatt, Jim, the family of Kelly, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. In Christ we are made the people of his pasture. Inspire the outreach and social ministries of this congregation. We pray for all people who serve and attend to the needs of others. Hear us, O God. For all the baptized, especially the newly baptized Amelia and Jacob, that we may encourage one another and build up each other in love and kindness. Hear us, O God. Holy God, in Christ we are welcomed home. We praise you for the faithful witness of those who have served you and extended your welcome and love to us. Unite us with them as one body of Christ. Hear us, O God.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament, those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have two stations with consecrated wine. Grape juice will be on the lectern side. We'll be doing it by the method of intinction, so I will give you a consecrated host, and you'll dip it into the chalice of your preference. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Number 206, there's a misprint in the bulletin. 206.
In this meal, you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.